part one of three. If the website said part one of two, but I found out earlier this morning it's part one of three. Bob thought it was going to be part one of one. He says, "You going for it?" Well, I sure studied that way, but then I just got too much. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we glorify the life of the Son of God in us, that you would manifest your life through submission, humility to the brokenness, contrite. Lord, that brokenness and humility that we see that is in you, Jesus, that when you left heaven, you became a man. And Lord, you've saved us, and we drink deeply from the wells of that salvation. Lord, we rejoice in that blessing of being saved, and we say thank you. Lord, we magnify your name. We honor you now. We glorify Jesus as we study the Word of God. And Lord, we are here today to listen to you. So we ask to be taught by your Spirit. And we humble ourselves, Lord, that your Word may get into our hearts. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. You know what? Just push pause there. Would you go get Josiah and just tell him to cancel it and just tell him to get back in the study? Right? Just go give him the word. Tell him not to worry about it. All right, so we got some more time. I'm going to wait for Josiah to get in here. I sent him on an errand, and I realized as I sent him on the errand, he's not going to find what I sent him to find. So that's on me. So there you go. So now we're waiting for Corey and Josiah. Anybody want to go get Corey? And there you go. There you go. Just encourage you along these lines. You found them. Good work. I know. I realized after I sent them, like, they're not right at the front door. There you go. Perfect. Good work, Corey. You're very faithful. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's rewind that whole thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So we come to today's study. And in the context, and again, in the heart's desire of a pastor standing up to share the Word of God with the people of God, church, this is us. And the way we've studied all of 1 Timothy, and I just keep encouraging and reminding you the ministry here. And as always, if you don't like the ministry here, you can always go find another place where you do like the ministry. That's absolutely free. I think that's one of the things that we come and offer, and you think about this, there's nothing binding us together other than the love of Jesus Christ, the bond of perfectness. And again, that sincere desire to work that all out. And so I share this not from a standpoint of you don't know me, but you do know me. And that means, again, that's code for get ready for the sharp word if you didn't know that. I believe that God has called us as a people to be his own, to be men and women who walk in the way of Jesus Christ, who walk and carry the cross, who deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Jesus, that do not turn aside to lies, that walk in the truth. We've been exhorted by prophecy, and it's an exhortation to not turn to the left or to the right, and to stick on with the Word of God. And again, the word from 1 Timothy has been to continue. Well, along comes the correction of the Word from time to time. There's reproof where you come to the Word of God and simply you're reproved. You might be rebuked today by the Word of God. Reproved. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what we're doing today, doctrine. In fact, today's title is Teaching and Exhorting Submission. The S word in the modern culture that doesn't know the living God. They've made the most wonderful doctrine of Christ seem like it should be avoided at all costs. And I'm here to say unto us, this call today is to the cross, to bow the knee, to submit and surrender unto God. And as we come to this study, the beginning of the instruction is, let as many servants as are under the yoke. Now, interesting phrase, under the yoke, as again the Lord has called us to come to him. And you think about, I can honestly say I've heard the Lord Jesus say three things in my life to me personally. Come to me, right? Follow me, abide in me. That place of getting saved was coming to him, and then the idea of following me when he became Lord of my life, that was being worked out right around 1999, January of 1999, and he became Lord. And then that abide in me has been ongoing and continuing in this context as we take this today, teaching and exhorting submission. I will be the one up front as the pastor teaching the Word of God. Not any of you sitting in the pews teaching one another the Word of God. And I mean that with all sincerity. Right? Let not many of you become teachers. I don't know if anybody else read James 3:1 this week like I did. Okay? Let not many of you become teachers. You're held to a stricter judgment. I stand up here, again, as I deliver this today, and I would simply say this. You, every one of you, singular, you need to learn submission. I can't think of a one of us in here that I would honestly say, well, you got it down. So I would say we, except it has to be personal. And again, as the Spirit would then speak to you directly in your personal life, about submission. Now we read and study today in the Word of God, and we're going to read and study again next week in the Word of God. I thought today was submission and money. Money's next week. The love of money, that's the root of all kinds of evil. We'll get to that part. Yeah, should be next week. Maybe we'll stretch it out. Maybe we can get it on Christmas. Right? Now with tongue in cheek there, I'm going to teach the Bible no matter who listens to it. Jeremiah's ministry was go and say all the things that God said to say. Go here, stand here, say it in this context. Say it to that group of people. Say it this way, and they're not going to listen to you. Now, I have one prayer, and that's our prayer this Sunday morning. Again, those of you in Sunday morning prayer. Okay, 9 a.m. Sunday morning prayer. Do not hinder another saint from getting here to prayer on 9 a.m. Most important meeting of the week, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. prayer. What time does it start? 9 a.m. What day of the week?
Sunday
morning. Very good. Now we consider this. We were pleading with God on one issue, that we'd hear you today. Lord, we'd hear the Word of God. And I come to this verse 1 in this context of servants that are under the yoke. Again, I think of, if any man come to me, right, if you're weary, heavy laden, the offer is to come unto Jesus, and he will give rest for our souls. Now, you've heard me stand up in this pulpit and say, there is a soulish, false wisdom that's offered up in the world. The study of the soul by the philosophies, theories, and doctrines of demons of mankind offered up in the framework of our modern world under the umbrella of mental health, counseling, and psychology. And I boldly stood up here and said and declared that unto you that as I state that, right, there is, if you will, a false rest being offered, a false peace, a false peace of mind that's just not of God. And I'm here to wield the sharpness of the sword over the issue of the heart that it actually needs to be won. And that's in our hearts concerning the Word of God. Now, I remind you, does anybody have Hebrews 4:12 memorized? Anybody have Hebrews 4:12 memorized? Did put your hand up if you got it? You have Hebrews 4:12 memorized. Okay, stand up.
No.
Okay, anybody else have Hebrews 4:12 memorized?
For the Word of God is sure.
Stand up. Come on. Anybody else have Hebrews 4:12 memorized? Just keep standing.
Okay.
I haven't memorized, so I'm standing. The Word of God is? Okay, who's got it memorized now? Hebrews 4:12. Who's got it memorized? Stand up. Memorized, okay. Right? Silent K is up. Very good. All right. Bronson, you got it memorized? Very good. Zoe, Gabby? Oh, Josiah. Okay, anybody else got it memorized? Okay, you guys can all sit back down. Who wants to have it memorized? So let's memorize a verse today as we begin. The Word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Chris LeMoyne, can you rely upon your heart? No, why not? What verse did we learn this week?
Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Chris wanted to know why his heart is as evil as my heart. And I said, well, it's just like my heart, right? Wicked and deceitful through and through. What's changed my heart? What's changed your heart, Chris? It's the Word of God. It exposes it, it reveals, it cuts right to the issue. I hope today to cut to our hearts. The only way we cut to the heart is if we humble ourselves now and prepare to hear the Word of God and say, Lord, I need submission. I need submission. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Got it memorized? You ready? All right. You got it memorized? You stand up and say it? Don't look at your verse. For the Word of God?
It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of thoughts and intents of the heart.
Soul and spirit.
And
joints and marrow.
Joints and marrow and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah, very good. All right. Excellent. Anybody else want to stand up and boldly declare the living Word of God? What's powerful mean? All right. So Satan is seeking to undermine the power and authority of God's Word in your life personally. And I am up here fighting the fight. And we're in a spiritual battle for the Bible, and I'm up here contending on your behalf, right? Not against you. Now, it may seem like against you because you may have received doctrine that opposes your own life in Christ. And it's a tricky thing when you come to what this really is, that we study this. And the only way to get to do this is to open up our hearts and receive that. Let as many servants as are under the yoke. This is the bondservant. This is the slave. This is the doulos. This is, if you will, the call to submission. Servants under the yoke. Doulos, you're a slave, whether figurative or literal, whether voluntary or involuntary. So, frankly, we live in this like self-love sort of environment there. We think that we should not have to do anything involuntary anymore. That's not a servant. Those that are under the yoke, again, this at a time when this was written to those that were bondservants and they could not get their freedom, Paul addresses that with the Corinthian church. If you can be free, use that. If you have the opportunity as a slave, as a Christian, you're under the yoke, you're a bondservant, you're yoked together to your master. That's why when Jesus says you want rest for your soul, he says, yoke together with me. I'll master your life. I will master you. I will be Lord of your life. That's the call for rest. Right now, Satan offers Christians the way of the world that says you can get around the cross. Jesus does not have to master you. You don't have to submit. I offer you mental health. And I'm here to declare unto you, he's a liar. And again, as this word is to be cutting sharp for us, and I again, with all my heart, it begins here, bowing the knee, if you will. But it begins with being under the yoke, submitted. Count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Most of us are far more concerned about our own self-life than we are what? The Christ life. Would you boldly stand up and say, the Christ life for me? Go ahead, take your shots at it. You know, I think it's Bonhoeffer who's his charge was, I say all unto you, watch. Said all that needed to be said. He said, all right, shoot at it, right? Kill it, whatever you got to do. And he ultimately did lose his life as he stood up for what was true. Now, as we consider this, servants under the yoke, scriptures agree. Okay? You need the witness of two or three from the scriptures. I agree with what Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy's to take this doctrine, teach and exhort. Submission, teach and exhort. For bondservants, you are to honor your masters. Count them worthy of all honor because you're a Christian, because you're a believer. Because you're named of Jesus Christ, because you serve and worship the living God who has sent forth his Son. And again, that his doctrine wouldn't be blasphemed just because you're unwilling to bow the knee to some earthly person who has power over you. Scriptures agree, Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Ephesians 6, 5, servants, be obedient. Colossians 3, 22, servants, obey in all things. So Ephesians 6, 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Colossians 3, 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. 1 Peter 2, 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. So my one prayer today, that we would hear the word of God. We come to this place in the sharpness of the word that's living and powerful, will pierce right to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants a church full of Christ's doulos, his bondservants. Jude, Peter, Paul, James, all identify themselves as they write their letters as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You better than them? You more than them? You better than Christ as he identifies himself as slave of all? So this Greek word doulos, therefore, in a qualified sense of subjection or subserviency. Now, this phrase, to your master. Lord, if I just had a better master, I would be submissive. Ladies, you're going to stand up in heaven before God and say, it's the husband you gave me. You're going to get back at the Adam and Eve in the beginning when he said, it's the wife you gave me. And you're going to stand up before God and say, I would have been submitted as a wife, except, man, my husband, blah, 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 blah. Am I mocking you? No. Making fun of you? Yes. Ladies, what a beautiful call you have. Men, show them how. Amen. Show them how. To your master. The Greek word there for master is the word despotes, where we get our English word despot. Oh. Ultimate ruler. The same word for a master. Aren't you glad our Lord is a good master? You think of the plight of the ladies who are married to a harsh master. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Does it change the doctrine of submission? No, it adorns it with a greater beauty that says a gentle and quiet spirit before God, very beautiful in the sight of God. To your own master, despotes, used of as for a husband, an absolute ruler, lord, master. Now why? Why would we in our work, why would we in our in church, in government, in marriage, why would we live this way as believers? Because we are believers. And this is the doctrine. And in order to not have others blaspheme the name of God and his doctrine, I'm simply here to remind you, you submit unto whatever you worship. When you say, I won't submit, what you're saying is what? I worship myself. I worship my own judgment. I worship what works for me. You worship a philosophy. And get this, you will always love that which you worship. Therefore, you'll obey it. All the depictions of the idolatry that was manifested, you have it in the scriptures, it all has a depiction of what man loves for themselves. Some pleasure, becoming lovers of pleasure, they deified it and put it into an image and then would submit to it, and serve it, and they became slaves of their own sinful desires. Now, we come to this place, if there's no help for us in God, there's no help. Therefore, when you look for help somewhere else outside of God, what are you saying? There is no God. Now, as believers, and you come and bow the knee and get an honor, giving, I mean, think about it. Count your own masters worthy of all honor, not a deceitful military sort of submission that says, I honor the rank. That's not Bible. If you may have operated under that when you were in the military to say, I honor the rank, and again, you know, you get the title, whatever that rank is, and it's yes, colonel, yes, major, whatever that is, as you would do that. And then the term where you actually honored the person, it would be maybe yes, sir, where that took a step of a different honor. I'm here to say unto us, the submission is to honor your own masters, count your own masters worthy of honor because of God, the name of God and his doctrine. And we've covered a lot about doctrine as we study this. And as I described, submitting to whatever you worship, the practice of submission is consistent with the name of God. The practice of submission is consistent with the name of God. What do I mean? Yahweh, YHWH, Yehovah, Jehovah, however you want to pronounce the name of God, that's unpronounceable. He is the existing one. He's made all things. There is nothing in his creation that is not under him. So when you submit unto what he has done in your life and those that he placed over you, again, we've studied this in the instructions for the church, 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 5, how he puts pastors and, again, shepherd, bishop, elder in place for you to understand that you place yourself under because God put them there, and you willingly say, I'm under that, I'm submitted, I recognize I need that. And it's again for the ministry of the Word of God. Here in our work, if you will, to be consistent in the practice of submission because the name of God is at stake. I'm counting myself to be named by the living God. What is the living God like, you may ask? This is why we're exercising ourselves toward godliness. You can look up the definitions. You have piety, you have reverence. And what does that mean to someone who does not know God? It's only reflected by you living out what you see in Jesus Christ in godliness, and it's played out. How do you suppose Jesus was working in his Father's, what did his dad do again? Oh, hard labor, right? Carpenter. I imagine Jesus to be what? Submitted in everything he did. Because then we're called to submit and do everything as heartily unto the Lord. I imagine when Joseph would say to Jesus, do this, yes, Dad. Yes, Abba. This submission. Now let's get on to this doctrine. The name of God, you have Yahweh, then you have the name of God, Jesus. God is salvation. This is how saved people live. This is how saved people live. Submitted. Under authority. Under the yoke. In our work, in our serving, in our submission. So his doctrine. Let's look at the doctrine of Christ, the submission of Jesus Christ, Philippians 2. Let's turn there. Remember, my offer still stands. If you want to find another doctrine on this, you can. If you want to find another teaching and doctrine on submission, you can go. You can go find it. Just don't stay here and bring it back. Okay, because we're not going to teach any other doctrine. Okay? Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we just work this prayer out today. The mind that is in Christ Jesus, let that spiritual mind be in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is his doctrine. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Anybody want to guess what servant word that is there? Is that doulos by any chance? And was made in the likeness of men. living God comes as a man and enters into submission, submitted unto his creation. What a marvelous concept that the one who made all things would place himself submitted unto the ones that he made. So that good testimony before Pontius Pilate, where Pontius Pilate says unto him, "Don't you know I have power and authority over you?" Jesus says, "Yeah, I know." Is that what he says? He simply describes, "You would have no power or authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." So the one who is from above reminds those that are here that he's submitted unto whatever decision you make. You ready for this life? His doctrine, the doctrine of submission, what we see in Christ Jesus, that being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we whine when we have a bad day at work because our supervisor or boss said or did something and made us do something we didn't want to do. Wah, wah. That's why they call it a whambulance. Wah, wah, wah. Men, I'll treat you as men. And I'm talking to you. Ladies, you'll get this. You'll pick it up. You'll be right there. It's the men I got to get through to. Ladies, you'll pick it up. And I know that to be true. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So if you let this mind be in you in the doctrine of Christ, and you say, when I go to work this upcoming week, I humble myself. Hey, if you're self-employed, every one of your customers is your boss, or they won't be back. Mm-hmm. Doctrine of Christ. We should not only see it in Christ, but we should also hear it in his teachings. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. If my name was Matthew, I'd be very careful to pay attention to this one. There you go. Matthew 20, 26 through 28. So the lead-up verse is, the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. When we refuse to be submitted in our work, we're giving opportunity for others to blaspheme the name of our Lord. John 13, 14 and 15. You should remember that one, right? John 13, 14, 15? Chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. You know, one of my friends who pastors down in Albuquerque, East Albuquerque, he says that as he's teaching a larger congregation, much more visitors and people come in, he full on expects that he's teaching the Bible, people will get up and leave because they don't like what he's saying. So we don't have that practice here, do we? So we either have a choice. We're either going to sit here and do what? Pretend like we like what's being said? Or we're going to like what's being said? Now, the sharpness of the word. What am I doing? I'm cutting. The word of God divides. We need the word of God. The issue is submission. Jesus is submitted. John 13, verses 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and Master, let's just start there. Is that worked out? What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Anybody know the rest of that? And not do the things that I say. So if I then, your Lord and Master. So no man can serve two masters. So you only can have one. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Remember that foot washing we did that Wednesday night? Mm-hmm. Wasn't orchestrated, spirit led. Anybody have a hard time having their feet washed like Peter? Not our Peter. I don't know if he did that night or not. Remember what he said? He said, you're not going to wash my feet. That's beneath you. And again, this place of Jesus is Lord. Ephesians 5:2, for his doctrine, the doctrine of submission of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, what do you associate together with that? Love sacrifices itself. Doctrine of submission. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called. Welcome back, Emily. Whew. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. 1 Peter 4:1, just a few pages over. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why is submission with suffering? Because you don't get to choose. You do realize that a bondservant doesn't get a day off because they don't feel well. You imagine the slave owner coming up saying, yeah, you can just take the day off. The master would say, what, get out of bed? But I don't feel well. Get out of bed and do it. See, a good master, right, would actually, under the law, provided a day of rest for his bondservants. Isn't our Lord good? In fact, if you ignore his commands, what does he do to give you rest? You can ignore his commands to rest, and what will he do? He'll give you a Sabbath on demand because he's a good master. So this idea of suffering, again, I'll just say this, you don't get to choose. Lord, you choose for me. My wife and I have been living this way now, what is that, 24 years almost. Just about 25, right? 20. Yeah, it'll be 25. You don't get to choose. Meaning, as you submit unto him, you say, Lord, your choices are better than my choices. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You ever read John 4 in the way that it's written that Jesus says, I must needs go to Samaria. You think he chose it that day? Oh, he made his choice. What was his choice? To do the will of God. Praying to do the will of God. This is submission. Not my will, but God's will. So when he's praying in the garden, this is a culmination of a life that has always done the will of his Father, that when it comes up to the most difficult part, when he pours everything out, this is not the beginning of his obedience, it's the fulfillment of it. And he reveals it for all of us with blood, sweat, and tears. Not my will. God's will be done. Now, we come to this place of looking at this, the doctrine of Christ, submission. Romans 15:3, even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So when you submit yourself and surrender and let him choose and you suffer, you will be treated wrongfully. It will hurt. You'll be overlooked, slighted. You'll be yelled at. You'll be mistreated. You will be, well, everybody else will get the raise but you. Whatever that might be, whatever methodology, whatever instrumentation God knows that you need to work out a perfect submission where you bow the knee and say, yes, Lord. Now, in turning to walk with the Lord and then again getting the beginning of the doctrine of Christ and learning that, and I just learned that not to go and ask for a raise. And the context for me was, I'm going to go and tell someone, I'll work harder for you if you pay me more money. You mean you're not doing your best now? Oh, see, the reality is, I do ask for a raise, right? And I ask my Father in heaven. and I don't say a word to mankind. You know, just an application I learned. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. And that's eternal riches. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Maybe it'll be 4 weeks in chapter 6. Now, let's get on to verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. So this comes an interesting twist. I think we can all get this place of submission and suffering, not choosing, carrying the cross, denying self. I'm following Jesus. His teachings are deny self, take up your cross, follow me. Yes, you, again, whatever you're called upon, whatever earthly master you might have, you bow the knee, you say yes. Ladies, just try that out with your husband and all of his ideas and plans that he wants to go and do. Just say yes. I'm with you. Right? Instead of pulling back and saying, I just don't think that's right. I think you should do it this way. Okay? Just submit unto it. Right? Men, start leading. What you do at work, what you do at home, what you do in church. Again, you come to this place. Because verse 2, I believe, addresses us as believers with believers, which now takes care of our marriages, takes care of our relationships in church, takes care of how we are, how we're going to be submitted unto believers. Oh, we get the witness of the world, don't we? Jesus' salvation, we're witnessing to the world that we're saved. We suffer needlessly, or again, from God's perspective, say we suffer wonderfully for his glory. And you look at this whole thing, they that have believing masters, this is the brethren, those that have believing masters, they let them not despise them because they are brethren. Isn't that the, why are you over me? Right? You're my brother in Christ. And then the idea of a servant despising having a believing master. Now, you do understand the call that I have as a pastor to be an example of one who serves like Christ. That's that whole thing. And then I'm also called to direct you to serve and lay down your life. So this applies right here in church. Having believing masters. Again, in the context of a doulos, having a believing master. So you understand that Jesus is the master, but he puts, again, authority is always going to be in our life. We're always going to be submitting to someone. Now, as concerning believing masters, because they are brethren, but rather do them service. That word service there is the same root word of doulos. Be a servant. Rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit, meaning that this goodness of God that comes to all of us through doing what we are supposed to be doing as God directed, meaning that the one who is leading the work and having others do the work, that we all will benefit from it. That's the context of a believing master. And then the instruction of partaking of that benefit, sharing in that, these things teach and exhort. So being faithful and beloved, here's this truth. This truth is revealed in our works. They are brethren. So as you live this out, they are faithful and beloved. So we think about this. Our stance is, we, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love. We don't see God, and yet we say what? We love him. How do you show that you love God? Remember what I said today? You will obey what you worship. You worship the unseen God. How do you communicate that you love? Through your obedience to his teaching, that you simply say with Peter, whom in having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. John echoes this, 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. How can I take this, how you are to submit unto your believing masters because he's your brother, to take it back to your submission unto God and your loving God, and because that's, it only is one doctrine. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. How about this? You have a believing master, you despise him. What are you saying? I'm a liar. What do you say Again, he's working this all out in this doctrine of submission. If a man say, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So here we are saying we're submitted unto God. Because isn't that what the Bible says we're supposed to say? This doctrine of... So I'm going to teach and exhort you now on the doctrine of submission in a relationship with God. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Instead of submitting unto the devil, and how would one submit unto the devil? How would we make the devil Lord of our lives? By listening to his lies. How is Jesus Lord of our life? Well, as he died on the cross and rose again to be Lord, saved you, right? Bought you with his blood, makes you his own, and you're his. And then now, what does he need to do with you now? All he has to do is speak with you. How many times was the rock struck to get water out of it in Moses' picture of Christ in the wilderness? He struck it twice, but how many times was he supposed to strike it? Once. After that, you just speak. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, here's where I want to address the double-mindedness. You can't be submitted to God and yourself at the same time. Absolutely impossible to be submitted to God and yourself at the same time. But guess what? You can be submitted to God and be submitted to every authority you put into your life, and it works all the time. Double-minded, be afflicted, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. What is this whole thing that is about submission and obedience, humbled, obedient to the point of death, the death of a cross? What am I talking about with us today? I am talking about us, like Christ, humbling ourselves and say, Lord, whatever you do in our lives. So let's take this doctrine of submission in your relationship to God. Now let's take it into your marriages. If you're married, the instructions are, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How sharp do you want the sharp word? You want it sharp? Mm-hmm. You want the honest truth?
Yep.
Okay. This bridges from this week's study into next week's study because it takes submission and money. Whoever controls the finances is the spiritual head and authority of the house. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing with the washing of water by the word, to present unto him a glorious church. Submission and government. Now, catch this. Love and submission are never separated in God's perspective. Love of the cross. The Father sends his Son, love and submission, as Jesus dies on the cross. Love and submission. As we come to Christ and he pours his love upon our lives to save us from sin, hell, and death, even some of us loved sin, hell, and death. You remember your worship song in the world? You know, your AC/DC worship? You know, you're like, you're going to party in hell? That was your worship song with Satan? Now you look at this thing and you're like, oh, love and submission. God loves me and I can submit unto that. Marriage, love and submission. Church, right? Love and submission. So government, it works there as well. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but God. Excuse me, there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Pontius Pilates. I don't know if he did that. Maybe he did yoga instead of Pilates. I don't know. perfect man for the job, submitted under the authority of the Roman government. Jesus bows the knee. Oh, he bowed in the garden, didn't he? And when he's before Pontius Pilate, before man, not a problem. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, here's the love part. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not even be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Now, that's why government has a responsibility to do what? To love the people. Love and submission working together. So, Romans 13 isn't just about submitting unto a government that's that way or whatever. Ladies, you think about submitting unto your husbands. The command is love and submission. And this doctrine of submission in our work, that's today's Bible study. We're studying it in ministry. That's last week's Bible study. Submission. Submission unto, and again, fellowship with, the one who is teaching the Word of God, declaring these things, the one who is seeking God, the one who is saying, let's go this way, last week's study. And then this doctrine of submission in all authority, teachers, coaches, police, judges, bosses, supervisors, and I could take that list and carry it out as far as needed to be carried out. Christians are to be under authority, under the yoke. Who holds the yoke? How does Jesus say, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? What is he saying? He says, let this mind be in you, which was in me. Doctrine of submission. And now in verse 3 is where the Word of God gets sharp to us. You might be right with me. Say, I agree with everything you just said. Love it. That's the Word of God. I absolutely love it. Now it gets tested. If any man teach otherwise... The Greek word heterodidaskaleo. Hetero, we know that prefix, right? Yep. We appreciate that prefix, that a man and a woman, they are hetero. That's how God brings forth fruit when it comes to a man and a woman. That's fruitful. That's godly. Now, in this case, hetero doctrine, hetero teaching, other teaching otherwise. If any man teach otherwise, to instruct differently, to teach other doctrine. Men and women teaching a different doctrine in the church by their lives, contrary to this doctrine in the Word of God. By our actions, we reveal if we are in submission. Why not let the Lord choose for you? Yes, Lord. Why not pray? You ask, and if God answers, you've got your answer. And if he says the answer is no, you got your answer. If he says wait, you have your answer. But either way, what are you left with? Submit it unto God. What does James say? Why you don't receive? Well, we pray in such a way and live in such a way to spend it on our own pleasures. And again, that's, again, submit it in prayer. If any man teach otherwise, again, I say if any woman teach otherwise, that submission is not the doctrine. I have heard, and again, firsthand, women twist this scripture and to tell another woman, you really don't have to submit unto your husband unless you come up against something you don't really agree with, and you got to submit. And it's not that. Submission is the doctrine of Christ, that at all times you place yourself under the care and authority of another who is head, who looks out for you, who loves you, love and submission working together, that you're always placed there. Again, the term for understanding, much like a military term. So if anyone comes in and teaches another doctrine. Now, do you see why I am so passionate about these other ideas, philosophies, doctrines of devils that come in, other philosophies and theories? How do you know that what you're reading actually is in agreement with the doctrine of Christ? If any man teach heterodidaskaleo, right? If anyone teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words. Now listen up on this one. Consent. Consent is the Greek word, again, proserkeome, means to approach, to come near. Figuratively, to worship, to assent to come thereunto, consent, draw near. In other words, one who teaches another doctrine will not come near the truth, will not approach. And again, my wife and I have been teaching this truth for years and have had many resist, and they will not draw near the doctrine of submission. Won't draw near to hear this. Wholesome words, the Greek word hugione, hugiaino, there it is, hugiano. I think we'll visit that place in Hawaii when we get there, hugiano, Mount Hugiano. Wholesome words. To have sound health, to be well. Again, we'd even use it in the term of the body. Wholesome words, that's healthy. Those are whole words. Figuratively, to be uncorrupt. And we speak of that in true doctrine, to be in health, safe. We use the term sound doctrine. So listen up. When someone teaches another doctrine other than submission, they twist, again, right into marriage, government, or work. That's the big three. Or they teach it in church. So we've been called upon to be in fellowship. And again, the instruction of last week in church was to submit and obey unto the leadership, right? Again, the pastor, the shepherd, elder, bishop. And again, I also need you to understand this. I have my love part of that, love and submission. Laid on, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is always in that agreement. You have it in marriage. You have it in government, if you look at it. You have it in God. You have it in church. And so here, I have been exhorting us and again, warning and all of us, if you turn aside to other doctrine, you will not draw near to the Word of God, which is sound. It's my prayer today for everybody. We come to Sunday morning prayer that every one of you would draw near to hear the Word of God. So it's described this way, that they that teach otherwise consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that should be startling for us, that there would be another doctrine that would pop up, that would come in, and the church is filled with them. And it enters in through people. It enters in through what you read and study and share with another. Oh, hey, look at this. Hey, study this. No. Open up your Bible. What's the Bible say? What's the meaning of this? What's this scripture saying? And you take this doctrine, wholesome words, true doctrine, those that will not draw near to that, to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my test for the doctrine. Is it healthy? Is I test it by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the doctrine which is according to godliness, which is one and the same. And my word to us, again, as you submit to God, resist the devil, that whole thing, humble yourself. It has to agree with the cross. It has to agree with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of humility. Submission and humility, hand in hand. Loyal yoke fellows, bound together. If the doctrine does not agree with the teachings of Jesus, it's not godly. Test it with Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Test it with the call to follow. Test it with the cross. Does it agree with the cross? This first one, deny self. Take up your cross, follow Jesus. Now, 4 is where I get a little upset. Not at the word of God, but that we would put up with any of this. And therefore, I don't put up with it. So I don't. Take me for what you want then. I do not like other doctrine that leads us away from submission and humility. Do not like it, will not put up with it. And again, some have insisted that I submit unto another doctrine, and I say no. So I entitled the subsection 4 and 5, "If it quacks, it's a duck." Looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. He is proud, knowing nothing. Who's proud, knowing nothing? Those that bring another doctrine, who cannot consent to wholesome words. I am pleading with us week in and week out, twice a week, pleading with us to follow the Word of God. In your personal lives, as you make your decisions, I'm saying what? Word of God. The Holy Spirit counsel. What do I keep saying to you? Sword of the Spirit is Word of God. The Spirit always agrees with the Word of God. Don't go against the Word of God. Again, you can always find someone to co-sign with you and give you permission to do whatever you want to do. That's part of that other doctrine. So the one who follows other doctrine, he says he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. It's opposite of our Lord's teaching on humility and his walk of humbleness. This man who takes this other doctrine, again, I would say men and women, they're proud. Greek word, tufu. Literally means to envelop with smoke, to inflate with self-conceit. All the way through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, of such, there's no law against that, meaning you can never have too much of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then the final word in 5:26 is, let us not become conceited. Vainglory. Vain, selfish glory. Again, proud, knowing nothing. Proud. The idea of inflating with self-conceit. A vainglory of we think we're something, or our understanding of something, or this teaching, this high-minded, lifted up with pride, like smoke rising up, and you could somehow envelop that smoke and say, I am really someone, to be lifted up with pride, knowing nothing. Now, it'll sure seem like they know something. All these doctrines give the impression of what? That they really know and understand. Knowing, again, it's understanding, like they really understand this. And I'm here to tell you, until you submit and humble yourself, you don't understand anything as you ought to. Whenever we're inflated with self-conceit, we're proud. And again, maybe the smoke gets in your eyes, and that's why we say pride is blinding. No, that's not why we say it. We say it because it is blinding. You don't see it. And then, again, he is proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions, strifes of words. Man, it is arguing over what a word means. Head doesn't mean head. I had a lady one time tell me that, oh, the head is this. She read some book that some guy wrote and other doctrine. I said, that takes away the doctrine of Christ and submission and authority and headship and Christ as the head of the church. And you didn't even study that. You have a strife about words and now you're doting about. Doting. The Greek word noseo, where I think we get our English word nauseous, nausea, because it means to be sick, to have a diseased appetite, to hanker after, to harp upon, to dote. Doting about questions and strifes of words. Questions, strife with words, you know, somewhat technically looking for slight differences of the word, arguments over what the word means, always looking for a way around submission, cleverly or boldly. Remember my example of one saying, oh, you don't really have to submit until what? Until something goes on. Out of that comes envy, strife, and railings. Usually directed at those in submission. Oof. So if you despise, ladies, if you despise a woman who is submitted in her marriage, and, oh, I just couldn't be married to a man like that. Or you despise the authority, love, and submission in church. I just couldn't go to a church with a pastor like that. You need to understand love. Love and submission hand in hand. Envy, strife, railings directed at those in submission. Fighting against God's word, attacking the godly. Railings, speaking against the examples of godliness in your midst. My wife is a godly woman who is submitted. Through and through. And I state that for all of you ladies. So if you despise her, it's not on her. Envy, strife, railings. She is your best friend in the ministry. She's the best one to help you work out your submission to your husband. godliness and womanhood, and that's the reality. There's all kinds of books out there. There's all kinds of other people that'll teach you other things. But if you want to be proud knowing nothing, you want to dote about and be sick in your marriage and life and strife about words with your husband, envy, strife, railings, and you're fighting with your husband, and all that evil surmisings. The last one, but I think it's the most important one because this is how this works. When one is fighting against those in submission, making excuses, no repentance, the last one, this evil surmisings, the Greek word hupanoia, suspicion. Webster describes surmising as a suspecting, and in this phrase, imagining upon slight evidence. Oh, I know how they are. Oh, I would have confronted him, but, well, you know how prideful he is. Evil surmisings. Listen, you don't know the other person. You can't look at them and make an evil surmise. Oh, did you see their body language? Oh, experts tell us that the body language communicates everything. Words have meaning. Okay? Evil surmisings, imagining upon slight evidence. Listen, you know how much foothold Satan gets to get you out of the covering, the protection, the love. You know how much he works overtime just to take you away from your protection, your covering. Imagining upon slight evidence, evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Book of Jude, 1 Peter, Book of Jude. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Doesn't seem to stop them from writing their books and teaching. Doesn't seem to slow them down. In fact, they're probably even more encouraged now in this modern world to present that you can live a life where you don't really need God. You don't need to submit unto God. We've got our own study of the soul. You don't need to come to the one who knows you and study the Word of God that would cut to the issues of the heart. There are always men with perverse disputings, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, and they make a lot of money off of it. Gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, we leave off there today, and we'll pick up godliness with contentment is great gain, the true godliness. But we leave with this last phrase today. I'm calling all of you to depart. And I've been bold about it. And I'm asking you to depart. Not one another. Not the Word of God. I've been calling you to depart what? All the other doctrine.